All right. Well, let's jump in. If you're at the website uberconference.com/TravisHellstrom, then you should be able to see my screen, I hope, where I have a presentation up on the left side of the screen. There's also a chat feature on the right side of the screen at uberconference.com/TravisHellstrom. That way, if you have any questions or comments and you'd like to share them on the chat, then you can do that there. I'm going to go through a quick presentation. It should be about 5 to 10 minutes. Should be pretty quick. And then we'll just open it up for discussion. And this is new for me with Uber Conference, so I'll be testing out a little bit. I think you can unmute yourself at any time by pressing the star button twice. So when we get into the discussion, if you'd like to share any comments, I think you can do it that way. Also on the chat on the right side, you can join in that way too. So let's go ahead and get started. On the screen, you can see on the screen share the presentation, but in case you can't see it and you're just calling in by phone, then I'll just narrate it for you so you can see what I'm talking about. This is week one in crafting your purpose. And I wanted to show you a little bit of what's to come with some of the exercises we have in the coming weeks. This exercise is one of my favorites. I'm really excited for this to be the first exercise. And before we jump into it, I just wanted to clarify the welcome letter that went out that I hope everyone saw. You can go to the website and find the link also in the previous emails. But in the welcome letter and in the welcome video, I just wanted to say thanks again for joining the course. I think this is going to be a lot of fun, and I really appreciate you signing up and testing it out with me. And I'm excited to hear your feedback and make it better and better for future weeks and future classes. So this is a picture of that welcome video, and that's it, courses.travishellstrom.com/welcome, and you can find that video there. So in the welcome letter, I talk about the basic courses, the different weeks that we're going to be going through. So we're in week one, and we're looking at what values matter most to you. And the idea here is that this is going to provide a foundation for us in the next weeks that we have. So this is going to help with focus, perspective, and when we jump into the next weeks, it's going to be very important that we have the values taken care of. So that's why it was week one. In week two, we're looking at your most important roles. And this is taken from Stephen Covey in The 7 Habits. It's actually mentioned in several of his books, but we all play roles in our lives. And if we want to be extraordinary in the things we do, we can't be superwoman or superman and have 15 or 20 different roles we play. So we're going to hone in on what the most important roles are for you in your life and then what the big rocks are for you every week. And we'll explain what that is when we get there next week. Week three, we're looking at the people who are most important to you, and we're going to be reaching out to them in fun, creative ways. And week four, we're going to be testing out a project, and this is going to help in future classes too that we have. But the idea is that we all have wonderful projects that we'd always wanted to do, but maybe we were afraid of. So maybe writing a book, starting an organization or a club, running some kind of community project. So we're going to jump into that and talk about that in week four. So week one, let's jump in. This is the video for week one. If you go to courses.travishellstrom.com/week-1, this is what you'll see. And then week one exercise, I think you've all jumped in and looked at. Pretty excited about it. This comes from Ginny Blake in her wonderful book, Life After College. She has a new book coming out this year called The Pivot Method. Very excited about it. And this was a wonderful exercise that I loved going through when I read it in her book, and I really wanted to share it. So, when you jumped into the exercise, you saw common personal values and were able to choose 20 or create your own. That's also always an option. And when you pick the 20 values, then you hone it down to 10. Then eventually you get to 5. And those 5 values in order are what we're going to be talking about today. So, I mentioned in my video that I would tell you what mine were, and I'll explain a little bit about them. And then I'd love to go around and talk about what yours were and what the exercise was like for you, how it helped you in the reflection about what your values are. And we'll just go around and have some discussion, questions and answers. And to start, I'll say mine first. My top values are happiness, simplicity, love, authenticity, and service. So for me, the reason I chose them in that order is it was hard. It took a while. I put them all in post-it notes. I had to put them in all kinds of different order. But the more I thought about it, certain values started to fall underneath other values for me. So that's how I ended up with the order that I have. And I also thought, what are the things that are more important than the other things? So could I have simplicity without happiness? And that was really hard for me to imagine, but I could imagine happiness without simplicity, as an example. That's why happiness jumped in front of it for me. So for me, when I think about my values, they've really helped me focus on what I'm doing. When things get great, when things aren't so great, when I lose my job or I'm looking for a new job, then it's helpful to come back to what's most important to me, the relationships in my life, my desire for simplicity and happiness in my life. I'm looking at probably living and working in other countries, living in Mongolia and in America, back and forth. My family is very important to me. And those values help me focus in on what matters most. So that's why I thought this would be a great exercise for you to start the course out with. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on what the exercise was like for you, maybe some feedback about the exercise itself. And if you're willing to share your top five values, it'd be a lot of fun to talk about them. And I'm also open to answering any questions. If you have questions about mine or why I chose the ones I did, I'll mention them again. So mine were happiness, simplicity, love, authenticity, and service. So those were mine. If you see the chat on your right side, if you could just say hi in the chat to make sure that it works. It's uberconference.com/Travis Hellstrom, and you should be able to see the chat on your right. If you can just chat in there and say hi, maybe say your name, then we'll be sure that it works for you. And otherwise, I might just go around. Thanks, Kelly. I see her in the chat. I can also just go around and unmute Timothy, Jonathan. Perfect. So the chat's working great. That's awesome. If anybody would like to volunteer to go, or if you'd like to chat any questions that you have into the chat, I won't have to call on you if you don't want me to. I'm happy to answer questions. And I wanted this time for us just to go around and have discussion to be a time for us just to talk about this particular exercise, maybe questions you have about the course in general. I'm glad that the chat feature is working. That seems like Uber Conference is working well for us. This is also just a time for us to test it out. So does anybody want to go first or share a question in the chat? And I can call on you or I can answer any questions that you have. I'm open to whatever you'd like to do in the next 20 minutes. Jonathan's volunteering to go. Thanks for being the brave first soul, Jonathan. I just unmuted you. How are you doing? I can't hear you. Can you try again? Oh, there you go. Yep. I can hear you.
Okay. All right. Well, hello, everybody. I did find actually very nice. Going through these values. Amazing how these values.
Oh, Jonathan, you're breaking up. You're breaking up a little bit. I'm sorry. You're coming in clear right in the beginning, but then you're breaking up a little bit now.
Okay. Is it better now?
Yes, much better.
Okay. So anyway, these are very helpful for me to keep my priorities for the week. So that's very useful. So my top five were growth, balance. I kind of cheated, so I had some ties. So there's growth. Balance and simplicity were tied, relationships, and also tied was spirituality and practicality, and fifth was freedom.
Okay, great. That sounds great. And you were saying that they were helpful to you in the week, just kind of planning out the week. Can you give an example of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, for example, with relationships, obviously with my wife, she's very important to me. So sometimes it's really easy to put something ahead of her. You know, like, I want to work because working on my freelance job gives me freedom, but freedom is number five. So I think similar to how you said, you can be happy without simplicity. I think even if I didn't have freedom, I could be happy with my wife. So sometimes I need to stop working, so that I can just be with my wife and cultivate that relationship.
Nice. That's a wonderful example. That sounds great. Do you have any other questions or thoughts about the exercise in general, the way it's laid out? Was it easy for you to get down to five values, or was it a little bit challenging?
No, it wasn't very easy at all. I think for me, I may have done it a little faster than you said you did, but I also wrote mine down on little cards to see what worked best for me, and just kept saying them over and over and seeing what fit best. But it was not very easy. I definitely wanted to have 10, so narrowing it down to 5 was difficult, but I think in the end it's been a lot more rewarding.
Yeah, having less is more helpful and easier to focus.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice. So I was curious. I was curious about how you use these specifically throughout your week. Like, if you just remember these and apply these to your schedule, or how do you apply these to your everyday life?
That's a great question, John. Thanks. For me, you're right. It's hard. At one point I was thinking I would write them down on little post-it notes and put them on my desk as a reminder. I've also just kind of thought about little things that I can do throughout the week. We'll jump in next week into roles. And I think you can absolutely use them in the big rocks and think about what are the roles that I play in my life, and then how do these values present themselves every week? But I think for me, the bigger thing that I've been doing is with the big decisions I've been making recently in my life, looking for new clients or new work, that's when it becomes really helpful for me to come back to the values and focus on, okay, I could take a job, you know, at this place or doing this thing, but is that really going to help me simplify my life? Some jobs more than others do that. Some jobs more than others help me with happiness or love. And authenticity, I think, is something I think about every day. Am I really being who I want to be? And am I being honest and transparent with people about what matters to me and who I am? Service also, I mean, Peace Corps was all about service for me. So for years, I focused on service, and really going all the way back, you know, 15 years service, I think I've done countless hours of community service, and it's a huge part of who I am. So I think sometimes for me, I've focused more on certain things than others. And the happier times in my life is when I had a good balance and in the right order, the things that really mattered to me. So I was exercising and eating healthy and having more simplicity, more focus on my values. So I have done good and bad. You know, sometimes I'm great at it, I think, and doing better. Sometimes not so great. And it's, you know, a week or two, like Jenny wrote, sometimes you find your values by not practicing them, by not really focusing on the things that really matter to you the most. Then you end up remembering, why am I feeling so off? Why don't things feel right? I don't feel like myself. Then it's probably because you're pushing the values off the side for now. You're not exercising because you're busy, or, you know, you're not keeping focused on what matters to you because there's a lot going on. And this exercise, I hope, helps bring back the focus. And just like you said, Jonathan, you can easily give up your freedom for higher things on your list. But often we might crave one of our values and then start to push other values to the side because we're forgetting about what really matters to us. That's a great question. Did that help answer that question?
Yeah, absolutely. That's very helpful. Can I ask one more quick question?
Sure.
Well, I was just wondering, kind of related to that, about the boundaries. So for me, number one was growth. And I'm just wondering, obviously, so then that's going to trump everything. But sometimes I'm wondering about, does it really trump everything, you know, all the time? So I'm wondering about the boundaries. Like, is it always just when you think about it, you're like, yep, growth, number one. So forget this other thing. I'm going to go do this thing that is growth. So how do we set those boundaries? Is it always sticking to this priority list?
That's another really great question. I'd love to hear other people's feedback on the call too, but my thoughts are that ideally, decisions we make are in unison with a lot of the values, if not all of them at the same time. So if you can achieve your top value while also being in harmony with the other ones, that's ideal. Sometimes they do compete, and it is easy to think, okay, well, growth is super important to me. I want to focus on that. But let's say relationships are really important to me, so I don't want to let go of my relationships just for the sake of growth. Is there a way that I can find a middle ground, a middle way, so to speak? I think if that's possible, then it isn't an either or kind of decision. It's a yes and, hopefully. You can choose to do one and do another. And that's a little bit we'll talk about next week. The idea of big rocks is if you have a bunch of big rocks and a bunch of little rocks and you have one container you need to fit them all into, if you put all the little rocks in first, the big rocks don't fit. But if you put the big rocks in first, then the little ones all fall around the big ones, then they fit. And it's a wonderful exercise because when you're focusing on smaller values that are at the bottom of your list, if you focus all your time and attention on those, the bigger ones might not fit. You might not have time to focus on growth. If you're super busy, if you're doing all these things for others and saying yes to everything that everyone asks you to do. But like you said, if you protect growth and create a little bit of space in your week or in your life for that, then you can easily say, yeah, well, the other stuff's great, but I want it to fit around what matters to me and not sacrifice the things that I say are most important to me. And you get more clarity. I think growth's a wonderful one. It's complicated. And for me, happiness is complicated too. Then you can think, well, what does that mean? Well, it actually means the other things are part of it. It's not just alone by itself. You grow a lot in your relationships. You grow a lot. In my case, looking at love and service has a lot of growth elements to it. So ideally, I think they can fit together nicely and you don't feel as much competition. But I think the list is also helpful to come back to and think, well, honestly, yeah, this one is more important to me. So I do need to think about that and not forsake it or forget about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, great. That makes sense. So basically, seeing kind of people come to say, think win-win for your values instead of world growth and, you know, happiness or something else.
Right. Yeah, the win-win idea versus the win-lose. That's a great point. That's a really great point. I'd also love to hear other thoughts. I don't know, Tim or Kelly, if you'd like to share any thoughts. I think those were great questions, Jonathan. I really appreciate it. Are there any other thoughts that Tim or Kelly or anyone else would like to share? Kelly's volunteering you, Tim. I don't know if that's okay. I'm going to turn off your mic if you don't mind and just say hey to you. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Good. Yeah, I was just thinking, I don't have any earth-shattering thoughts on what you all were just talking about. Just a really interesting conversation around values. It's really, really good to think about it, I think.
Wonderful. Yeah. Did you find that the exercise was easy to go through, or was it something that was a little harder than you might have thought it was going to be?
It started off pretty easy, you know, when you have the entire list, but it got progressively harder. I haven't had a chance to finish it all. I started it at work yesterday, and I'm still on number 3, your top 5. I listed everything. I think I've just figured out my top 5, but I have to go through and do step 4. But I've done similar values exercises through career mapping, career work, using the strengths finders, those kind of things. So I have a good idea now of where I'm leaning in my life. It's just nice to be able to enforce that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I really appreciate you sharing that, Tim. And I also didn't include an exercise, but maybe I should. Jenny said that it took her 2 weeks to get through step 4. It took her 2 weeks to go down to 5 values. And she also kind of cheated. In her book, she has, I think, 8. She did 5 and then plus 3 at the end. So I think it can be very challenging. And for me, it was surprisingly difficult. I thought it was going to not take me that long, but I think I lost track of how long it actually took me. The post-it notes kind of sat on my desk for a while. I couldn't quite figure out. It was very mentally draining. I don't know. It sounds kind of crazy, but it did take me a while too to get through that. And I see Kelly said in the chat too that for her, that's where she's at too, is really honing in on those five. So maybe that's something I can improve in the exercise itself, is to let people know that it can take a little while and that that's okay. So I really appreciate that feedback, Tim.
Yeah, you're welcome. But having said that, I do have a top five, and I think I've come up with an order now.
Nice.
So my list is authenticity, integrity, meaning, personal growth, and collaboration.
Nice. Can you say the second one again?
Integrity.
Oh, integrity. Oh, great. Oh, those are wonderful. For you, authenticity, it doesn't surprise me, because knowing you and knowing how open you are about who you are and what matters to you, I understand how an authenticity would be right up there. For you, how does that, can you talk a little bit about how you chose that and what that means for you?
Yeah, something that's been on my mind for a very long time now, almost a year, just the idea of being authentic and being your true self, you know, stepping up and, like, whenever you go anywhere, whatever you do, whatever you say, speaking your truth, being your most honest, your most open self. And I can admit that I'm not the best at that yet, but it has been on my mind, and I've been actively working toward getting better at that. So living a life that's open, living a life that is, you know, most in line with my values and my ideals, you know, not necessarily these top five, but, you know, just the things that I hold most dear, and not allowing myself to get off track with those. And I think that goes right along with integrity as well. So when I saw both those two on this list of values, I was like, yep, those are going to be high up there, if not in my top five.
Nice. I was going to mention that too. I think integrity is a wonderful complement to authenticity. That makes a lot of sense. Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Tim. Do you have any other comments or questions for me or anything?
Can you just say, in your own words, the idea of the Crafting Your Purpose series? Because I took some time to read through the webpage that you created, but I would just like to hear from you what all this is about.
Yeah, that's a great question. I appreciate that. I was going to do that in the beginning of this little call too, and I just forgot to mention it. I'd like to clarify that a little bit better in the welcome letter, but in my own words, the idea is that purpose isn't something that you find. I don't think, and I've read several books now that are making the case that the idea that passion is something you just find in your life, and once you uncover it, everything makes sense, or purpose is just something that you uncover like treasure, you know, in the desert or something, isn't really the way it works. And the reason I chose crafting is that I believe purpose is something that actually could have been crafting your purposes, that there are a lot of purposes. There are a lot of things that matter to us and values that are important to us. And that the challenge is creating a craftsman or a craftswoman mindset is more about, okay, what are the things that I love and that I care about? And how do I make those things more central in my life? And how do I become extraordinary at the things that I do too? And a lot of that's focus, coming into what matters to you most, and then finding purpose through your values, through the roles that you play, through the people that you love and that matter to you, and through the things that you create and the things you do. That's when I think you start getting closer and closer to crafting a purpose in your life. And not just a purpose, but crafting purpose in general, and being purposeful and having more meaning in your life and feeling really good about the things you do. I know everybody on the call right now, for instance, Kelly, it's wonderful to see on Facebook when you're posting about, you know, being out early in the morning, alongside firefighters and alongside EMS personnel and the work that you're doing with the Red Cross. Like, there's so much meaning in that. And yet we all know day to day, it's easy to lose track of that because you're dealing with the paperwork, you're dealing with administration and bureaucracy and everything else. And no one's immune to all of that that comes along. It's easy to lose track of, what am I doing? What did I do today? I know I answered a lot of emails, but what was the point of what I did today? The hope for me with crafting your purpose is that you start to come back to what is most important to me, and am I really in control of what's happening, and how am I reacting? How proactive am I being in the things that I do? And that no matter what you do, it's this idea that you have to do the perfect job or go overseas and find this, you know, perfect mission. That's when you'll find purpose. I don't think that's true. In the purpose economy, Aaron Hurst, I think, makes a great point. The purpose is a choice every day. It's something that we always have available to us. And whether we make that choice or not is completely up to us. And So Good They Can't Ignore You, Cal Newport is talking about the craftsman mindset. And he says, you know, this passion idea that you just have to find your passion and run with it can actually end up bankrupting you, because you jumped way too quick into building this thing that you're passionate about without all the work that goes into making it last. So he talks about what a craftsman or a craftswoman mindset would be. So we'll be talking about that a little bit more in the course, but I'd love to explain that a little bit more and write about it a little bit more. But does that connect with you, Tim? Does that make sense?
Yes, it definitely does. I hadn't really thought too much about the idea that, you know, purpose is something that's within you and not something that you have to go out and find. And I really like the idea of purpose is a choice. I'd like to reflect on that a bit more. So thank you for bringing that idea up.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Tim. And I see also, Kelly, you said yes in the chat, which is wonderful. Is there anything that you'd like to share, Kelly? Would you mind if I called on you and just chatted for our last couple minutes? Let me see if I have your right mic on. Are you there, Kelly?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Cool. Well, Travis, I thought this was a really... is it echoing on your side or just mine?
Yeah, I can... I think I see your phone, too. Let me unmute that one and see if that's better. Can you chat on this one, too?
Yeah, I took myself off of... Oh, that's better.
Yeah, okay, this sounds great.
So I, too, was a little bit behind in the exercise, but I found, even over the course of this phone call, that just going through it quickly, I thought it might be an interesting exercise to do this, like, in two ways. Like, maybe to just do it really quickly and go with, like, impulsive decisions to see what you come up with, and then maybe, like, go through the exercise with more intent. And like, you know, spending more time with these and like maybe comparing what your like instinctual first decisions were versus maybe what you spent more time marinating on.
Nice. I like that idea a lot. I think I kind of did that. Jonathan says in the chat, he likes that idea too. I kind of did that too. When I did the post-it notes, I kind of out of frustration, maybe I just said, okay, well, here's what I think just off the top of my head is probably the right order. And then I walked away for a while and then came back, and I just switched things around a little bit, but not a lot. I think there is something to that kind of intuition, like that you might have some intuition about what the right order is. And maybe that there's a thinking part of your brain that'll overanalyze it to death. And there's a feeling part of us maybe that's like, I don't know, this feels right. I don't know why, but it feels right. That's a really good point.
That's just something that came up for me. I think, the other thing is, I mean, I love this. I think it's great. And I've agreed with just about everything you've said. I think that for me, at least for my current job, and Travis, you really hit the nail on the head with the, you know, having the day-to-day, sort of my, you know, office manager role, to like taking on the volunteer piece, because that is the more, I guess, meaningful piece. But I see the importance in both aspects. So sort of like the duty versus like the more on the ground service to others. So that was definitely, I think that will definitely end up being one of my top five values. And a lot of the ones, so I went through and I basically highlighted like 35 of the personal values that I liked. And then I went back and chose 10, and that was pretty difficult. And so now I'm just working on the last five. But a lot of the ones that I think I've honed in on are, I think, as a result of being aware of some of the things that are currently lacking. Just a little background is the Red Cross merger of Vermont and New Hampshire. It's been sort of a real challenge, and just going from like a staff of 19 when I first came on board to now we currently have 5 people in Vermont. So it's given me the opportunity to just really step up to the plate and figure out how I can contribute and what I bring to the table. So this this whole exercise is really relevant to me right now. I mean, it's great.
Oh, that's so good to hear. I hope that next week's exercise will also be helpful, because I think we all play a lot of different roles in our lives, and yet we know that some roles have more leverage or more return than others. So if we put in 1 hour into this, it's going to return, you know, tremendously to us. If we put 1 hour into something else, maybe like responding to a ton of emails, we might not be sure that was even the best use of time. So like this idea of what are the roles you play and what are the values that you have, and then thinking, okay, I'm going to do this today, and I think that's going to be one of the most high impact things I can do in my work. That's going to actually help me go the direction I want to go. That's why I'm excited to jump into that next. But thanks, Kelly. I really appreciate that this has been so helpful for you. And I also know that no matter where we are, I think all of us have those challenges too, where we feel great about some things and then other things, you know, not so much. And it's hard to make all of it make sense together.
Yeah.
Well, this has been really, really fun. And thank you all so much for being on the call. I promised we would just be 30 minutes. So I want to respect all of your time and also say thank you for the wonderful comments that you've shared here. It's given me a lot of things to think about. I'd like to improve the exercises and make them, you know, very transparent too, about maybe even putting up pictures of what my book looks like. It's like a huge mess with trying to make sense of all my values too. But I also am excited about next week. So thank you so much for being on the call. And this was a lot of fun. I think we'll play around with it next week too. And this has been really good. I'm glad that the technology worked so well. Thanks so much, everybody. I hope you have a wonderful day, a very great end to the week. And if I can ever be helpful, please email me anytime. And thanks again. I hope you have a great day. Thanks, everybody.